Money FM 89.3, the best of the breakfast huddle.
Time now to shine the spotlight on headlines coming out from China. Well, China trimming its key lending rates again to the country facing another COVID-19 outbreak, too. China announcing that it will forgive 23 loans for 17 African nations. Well, to give us an analysis of those headlines and more, we have on the line Dr. Oe Sun, Senior Fellow, Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Welcome to the show.
Well, good morning to all of you.
So, China has trimmed its key lending rates again 1 week after it cut two interest rates in a surprise move. Now, what do you think is the motive here by China with back-to-back surprise moves?
Well, I think the Chinese economy is undoubtedly taking a slower turn, and the authorities would think that it's very important at this point to stimulate the economy. And as with the U.S., the sheer bet, well, at least in their eyes, the sheer bet for stimulating economy would be to lower the interest rate further. For U.S., it's because they are facing inflation. That's why they're raising interest rate. For China, inflation is not such a concern, but the slowing economy is. That's why they're lowering the interest rate. Hopefully, it's easier for people to borrow money, and thereby the economy could be stimulated. Yeah.
Yeah, Dr. O, how would this latest move attempt to, you know, revive credit demand and fire up the economy be hurt by, let's say, extended COVID lockdowns and property debt problems? Is this coming a little too late?
Well, the jump on this thing called so-called circular economy, I think supposedly as you stimulate spending by both consumers and businesses alike, hopefully, indeed, the economy could be jump-started again. At least, I think that was the thinking. I think after the last round of interest trimming, there was an initial upsurge of optimism in the markets and so on. But frankly speaking, it died down very soon. So that's why they need another round of interest cutting.
Yes, they certainly do. Let's turn our attention to China's zero COVID policy. The nation reported just over 2,000 new COVID-19 cases over the weekend. You know, conditions are terrible. It's the country's biggest outbreak since the lockdown of Shanghai earlier this year. Tell us more about the numbers and where they are coming from.
Well, more than 2,000 cases in other jurisdictions, Singapore included, perhaps would not be, top of the concerns. But China has this zero COVID policy, right? And many of these new cases, they came from what we call tourist hotspots. For example, in the island of Hainan, and even the more remote regions of Xinjiang and Tibet, where there were a lot of tourists. I think, well, people sometimes they tend to congregate and so on. And there was this renewed outbreaks of COVID. But the Chinese government is very common of them. They immediately shut down and sort of corral these newly infected areas here.
Yeah, while the rest of the world is learning to live with COVID, China still holds on to this zero COVID policy. So will the country ever find that balance between containing the virus and maintaining economic growth? Is it actually time to forego the COVID zero policy?
Well, of course, I don't think they will publicly avow to forego this zero COVID policy. But I think some of these restrictions are being loosened up. For example, nowadays, if you do get to go to China, the number of days for quarantining has been reduced from at least 3 weeks or 21 days to now, for example, around 5 to 7 days. But the catch is, for example, if you go to another city, you might need another 5 to 7 days. So it sort of accumulates as such.
Yeah, I'm glad there is no zero COVID policy here. Otherwise, life will just not get back to normal. Elsewhere, Taiwan will be welcoming more foreign delegations despite Chinese pressure. Japanese and U.S. lawmakers are set to visit Taipei this week, even as Beijing has sought to limit engagement. Now, Why is Taiwan taking this bold step to welcome more delegations into the country, knowing that it's going to irritate China even further?
Well, I think Taiwan craves for more international recognition, and it feels like it would like to belong to this U.S.-led sort of groups of democracies. So it is very intent on continuing to do so. But on the Chinese side, of course, they have all these military drills and exercises, and, you know, they are getting closer and closer to the island of Taiwan. So from a Chinese perspective, well, they also get to, in a sense, change the reality on the ground a little bit. So I think both sides is doing this sort of, shall we say, tangoing of their various interests. Yeah,
and while Beijing has sought to, you know, limit engagement, can we possibly expect China to change their minds and do otherwise?
I don't think so. I think if anything, China is tightening, or at least attempting to tighten its grip on Taiwan to try to discourage international interactions with Taiwan and so on. So again, this is a very careful sort of tangoing between the two sides of the Taiwan Strait.
Yeah, certainly not the last that we've heard about China and Taiwan. Let's talk about the Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi, how he's announced that the country will forgive 23 loans for 17 African nations. What do you think is the agenda behind China doing so? And how and what will these African nations owe China in return?
Well, I think the primary motivation is the simple fact that these loans are most likely would not be repaid, or those debtor countries would not be able to repay them. So you might as well be generous and say you forgive this set of loans. But of course, I think China is undertaking more and more of this primarily infrastructure building activities in Africa. I think it would run into this similar set of these countries sometimes not being able to repay their loans. Yeah.
You know, is this part of what critics would argue is China's debt trap diplomacy?
Well, I don't think China is really going out there deliberately to set these traps, because from their own developmental experience, when you build the highways, the railroads and so on, then prosperity would follow, right? But sometimes, frankly speaking, you could not replicate this sort of models around the world, because, you know, the people everywhere, they are not necessarily having the same very development-focused mentality as with the Chinese population. So sometimes you build this infrastructure, and if it is not properly or fully utilized by the local economy or population, well, then perhaps those countries could not repay the loans which are used to build these facilities.
Exactly. Before I let you go, I have to talk about the Chinese tech giants like Alibaba and Tencent. How much can cost-cutting help these companies stay afloat? Because they're, of course, looking to scale back costs.
Well, they are faced, in a sense, with what I would call double whammy. Number one, as we said just now, the Chinese economy is slowing down. Then, of course, their business is not as good as before. Number two, the Chinese regulatory authorities also put up a lot of new regulations. For example, tightly regulating the online gaming activities. So some of these businesses, which were previously quite vibrant under both Tencent and Alibaba, nowadays perhaps they are slowing down. So they would have to do some cost-cutting measures.
Yeah, always a very interesting conversation. We've been speaking with Dr. O.A. Sun, Senior Fellow, Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Have a great rest of the day, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.